I am so thrilled to be able to introduce Brother Matt Millen to our pulpit this evening. And we were sitting up on the platform just kind of smiling together and thinking, man alive, 20 years ago they wouldn't even hardly let us sit in the back row of the church, and now we're up on the platform, you know. And a lot of sweet memories. This was my buddy, my roommate in Bible college, also my co-laborer up in the Chicago bus routes. We've spent a lot of hours together during those training years preparing for the ministry. And I can't tell you in those years how many times we've talked together, dreamed together of just wanting to get through college and go out and do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know, because I'm not qualified to say, I don't know what's present in our, I guess Brother Matt would be much more qualified in this. I don't know what's going on in all of our Bible colleges and what's there and what's not. But I don't know. I guess I wish I could convey to the young people what was there when I was there and what the heart. You know, when I went to Bible college, man, I had a corduroy suit, rust-colored corduroy suit, a pair of brown cowboy boots. I think I may have had another sports coat or a suit and about three shirts and one tie that hopefully went with everything. And if it didn't, I wore it anyway, you know. And showed up in an old jalopy and you know, I mean, an older car, and had enough money to register and went to work, rolled up my sleeves. My mom and dad, especially during that first year, sacrificed so much to just help me get through that first year. But you know what? We didn't care. We showed up for one reason. That God had touched our hearts. And there was and I'm not saying it was this way with every single person, but for the vast majority of people that went to Bible college in the 70s, it was just, you know what, God touched our hearts. We showed up. We wanted to get ready. We just wanted to do something for God. Amen. And, you know, I thank God for those years. Those years prepared me for the ministry. And can I tell you this? I may have a couple more suits and some ties that actually match now, but I still feel that same way. I've not lost that. I can't say that, but I'm going to tell you, that's one thing I haven't lost. I still get up every morning and just say, God, man, just let me do something for you today. The greatest privilege in on the world is just the privilege of being able to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in some capacity. God's not everybody going to call everybody to Bible college, not call everybody to full-time service, but you ought to have a hunger in you to just want to see God do something. And this worked out so wonderfully. Brother Matt could come on our Sunday. We've designated I Love the Bus Ministry Sunday, and I told him, you preach whatever you'd like to preach. But I told him I'd like him to incorporate some, maybe tell you a little bit about his involvement in the bus ministry, how the Lord used it to reach him, and encourage our hearts tonight. So, Brother Matt, thank you for coming and bringing your family. We're so glad that you're here.
Thank you. Is this microphone on, Brother Jerry?
Brother Dave.
All right. I want to say thank you to my wife, who kept me almost 20 years right now. Ms. Heather back here. I found her. First time I ever saw her was in a bus meeting at college, and for these 20 years we've been on bus routes together, and I appreciate her very much. I'd probably embarrass if I asked her to stand up. She's from the backwoods of Maine, and so she's used to 35 acres out in the middle of nowhere and no fanfare. But I'll say, when we men who supposedly get all the credit, when we get to heaven, there are going to be some ladies behind us who are going to get the credit for what we've done. She spent 11 years changing diapers, 6 children, letting me get the credit for things, and the truth is it belongs to her. So I appreciate her very much. I spent my youth in the bus ministry. I'm not an old man, but I'm not 20 anymore. I'm not 25, and I'm not 30, and I'm not going to tell them because it's none of your business. I've spent about 25 years in the bus ministry. And if I had to go back and do it over again, I wouldn't change anything. Because there's nothing like reaching people with your life. I don't have a real big house and some fancy cars and a nice wardrobe to show for the 25 years I've been out of high school. 26 years I've been out of high school. But I have a lot of people waiting in heaven. And I have a lot of blessings that God has given me. And I still have my wife and my children. and God's blessing. And what price can you put on that? Well, the jury is venting this morning about the time change. Boy, it's my turn. I came down here Friday night, and I lost an hour coming. And then I lost another hour last night. What a ripoff. A couple days ago, it was almost 6 o'clock right now. If there's any reason to be bitter in life, that's one of them. You got to get up early and go to church on vacation, for crying out loud. Mitch Daniels, God bless you, brother. I hear you're a Christian. Amen. May the Lord bless you in many ways. Brother Jerry said he normally preaches about 15 minutes on a Sunday night, so I guess I got to hurry. You know, if there's going to be a love offering, I got to just take the loot and scoot, I guess. And I figure 15 minutes, you'll be done with me, and hey, you'll be happy. I don't think I can talk that quickly, though. Here's an old fella, just retired. He got a hold of a friend of his that owned a car lot. And his friend said, hey, Joe, why don't you take this Ferrari for a spin? So he got in this Ferrari. He was going 70, 80, 90 miles an hour. And, you know, he just retired, figured, man, this is great. What a rush. He's running down the road about 90, 95, gets to 100 miles an hour and passes a state trooper. Trooper turns his lights on, comes after him. And this old fella's thinking, man, I could outrun this guy. 110, 120, 130, and he's thinking, what an idiot. The kids are gone. The wife has stayed with me all these years. She doesn't want me tattooed to a tree, for crying out loud. He came to his senses and says, you know, I better stop. So he pulls over the side, and the trooper comes up to him and says, sir, that's quite a fast car you've got there. He said, look, I got a half hour left on my shift. He said, if I can hear from you some excuse that I've never heard as to why you were speeding, I'll let you go. You all know the excuses that people give? Of course, the policeman heard them all, and this older man said, sir, several years ago, my wife ran off with a state trooper, and I thought you were bringing her back. The trooper said, have a nice day, you sir. So for those of you fellows who are tired of your wife, get you a Ferrari and outrun a state trooper. Oh, well, enough of that. Revelation chapter 4, please. Keep your Bibles tonight. Man, I hate to use the Bible so much in a Baptist church here. I'm going to take you to several verses. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You don't get a church like this. I was saying to your pastor, there's a lot of older, seasoned, strong, stable Christians in this church. And you don't keep people like that by coming up with 3 points in a poem on a Sunday morning and Sunday night. You keep good people like you by giving them the Word of God. So it's the Word of God that draws people and keeps people. Revelation chapter 4, verse 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Of course, this is the book of Revelation. You'll be hearing more about this when that fella comes and tells you about the end times. But I love so much how that one of these days, the one that people had no time for in the end, and it seems like last year that everybody kicked Jesus Christ out of Christmas. The one who's been despised and rejected and cast off, and we don't have time for him even as Christians ourselves. He's going to get the glory he deserves. He came the first time as a child to take our sins away, live a perfect life, show us in many ways how to live, and that he died for our sin. He was mocked, despised, rejected, cast aside, disregarded, hated, and killed. But when he comes the next time, he's not going to be a suffering savior. He's going to be a conquering king. Sort of like that old book with the villain, he's got the advantage. And you go to the last chapter and find out he don't win. Jesus Christ could win one of these days. I want to turn your attention to a couple words there. In verse 10, the word worship. And in verse 11, thou art worthy. That's the same basic word, the word worth-ship and the word worthy. It just simply means the value that you place on someone or something. I'm going to preach tonight on the value of the bus ministry. I had another sermon I wanted to preach. When your pastor said, preach on the bus ministry, he said, if you feel led to. Well, you know, when the pastor asked me to preach on the bus ministry, I felt real led to preach on the bus ministry. I think the man of God knows what a church needs. Any sermon a man could come with, if the pastor feels like the bus ministry I'll be preached on, he needs a sermon on the bus ministry. And there's nothing more important to preach on than what the pastor wants. And I think the bus ministry is a great thing. But the Bible says here that Jesus Christ is worthy. We ought to worship him. And the value that you place on Jesus Christ should be more important than any possession that you have, any car, any house, any land, any business, any pursuit. Jesus Christ is worthy of all your life. He's worth more than taking off on a weekend to go boating or fishing. You ought to be in the house of God on Sunday. That's where you are. You may own a boat, but you're not on it today. You're in church, and that's where you ought to be. Because Jesus Christ, without him, none of us would be where we are. And we'd all be on our way to a devil's hell or in hell at this moment. He's worthy of any financial portfolio what we might have put together. Truth of the matter is, he could take it all away if he wanted to. Read the book of Job. He lost it all, but he didn't lose his integrity. He didn't lose his love for Jesus Christ, for his God. So he's worthy. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. Again, I'm going to take you to several verses. Man, I hate to use the Bible so much here. Man, it's only a Christian church here. I have several verses. I have students memorize in my class on the language of the King James Bible at the college. There's only 8,000 different word vocabulary in that book. Very small vocabulary. The average person has a 10,000 to 15,000 word vocabulary. The King James Bible has an 8,000 word vocabulary. The only difference between the land of Uz and the land of Oz is what you've been watching on television. You know, we know about the land of Oz, but the only reason we don't know about the land of Uz is because we don't look at where the land of Uz is mentioned, the Word of God. And the vocabulary you have has everything to do with what you spend time with and what's important to you. And the Word of God ought to be so important that you know its vocabulary and what God wants. We ought to bring our education or our vocabulary up to what God wants rather than bring him down to our vernacular and our day and age. That's just for free. I just thought I'd throw that in. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. That means give your pastor a raise. $20 later, Brother Jerry, I'll take that. That means take care of your preacher. Take care of your assistant pastor. Take care of the man who goes to God on your behalf and who comes to you on God's behalf. He's worthy, so to speak, or he's worth what he gives you. Talk about the word worth here, value. The scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. You labor in the word and doctrine, you are worth what people pay you. There's a value on what services a man or woman gives. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses, and so on. But there's a value. Jesus Christ has a value. The value he has is, I owe him everything. Everything I have I owe to Jesus Christ. You know, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You see, I don't have a right to do what I want with what body God has given me. I have a right to do what he wants. We live in a generation where people think that everybody owes them something. Nobody owes you anything. You owe Jesus Christ everything that you have. We get This is later on in the sermon, but I'm here. I'm an old codger, so to speak. I came from the old country. You know, my grandparents came from Norway, 13 children, lost the farm during the Depression, farmed their kids out for the meat and milk and the eggs. And, ladies wore feed sacks for dresses. And the men just worked. I had a grandfather, creosoted railroad ties for 12 hours for a dollar a day back during the Depression. Didn't have anything. And we have a generation now that, gimme, gimme, gimme. If I can't make 15 bucks an hour, I don't want to work. I can get more on welfare. I'd rather stink and die the death than take welfare. I understand its purpose, and it helps people in a time of need. Truth is, that's what God's for. That's the truth. Government doesn't owe you a living. The Lord Jesus Christ owes you to keep his word, to take care of you like he said he would. But we have a generation that doesn't want to give anything because they think that everything's supposed to come to them. The young people, it's time to grow up and realize that there is a time in life when you've got to realize that you owe something to Jesus Christ. Not to Nintendo or Xbox or PlayStation, which I don't think anything wrong with, except the music and nonsense that goes on in some of those games. I don't think anything wrong with having diversion, having fun. But if it takes the place of this book or Jesus Christ or the work of God, get rid of it. If you can't handle it, take what's more important. That's Jesus Christ and the Word of God. But everything has a value. Jesus Christ has value. We owe him our life. If a man works hard, we understand and have the sense to know that we ought to pay the man for his work. 8 hours work for 8 hours pay. Pay him. If you work for a man, give him 8 hours work for 8 hours pay. Don't rip him off. Don't take a 50-minute break when you get paid for a 30-minute break. And we understand that whenever someone gives us work, we pay them what they're worth. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. What are people worth? Well, some people make $5 an hour. When I was an 8-year-old boy, I worked in a gladiola field picking gladiolas for 42 cents an hour. I worked 100 hours for $42. The fellow gave me an extra 50 cents because he liked me. Thanks, buddy. Of course, you can get an ice cream cone for a nickel. And every scoop was an extra nickel. Matthew chapter 16. And verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What is the price of a soul? Missionary, I forget the name, said, it might have been Nate Saint who was killed by the Indians. He said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to get what he cannot lose. I had a dream one time that I found lots and lots of money. Big bag full of money, and I'm thinking, am I dreaming? I pinched myself. In my dream, I remember that. I pinched myself. This is real, man. I found this money. It's great stuff. Then I started waking up, and I started reaching for this money. I said, no, it's not true. Let me go back to sleep and make this real. You come from where I come from. Money is something you just don't ever have. When you finally get a chance to have a little bit of it, you're kind of like, wow, this is great stuff. But I woke up. What a ripoff. You know, what do you give for a soul? I know what Jesus Christ gave for a soul. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. In verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why did Jesus Christ come? Seek and save that which was lost. Because he realized that the worth of a soul was worth the blood of God. Nah, just a bus kid. Really? Is that what Jesus thought about it? Jesus Christ thought about bus kids a little bit differently than we think. He was willing to die for them. That's the worth of a bus kid. See, we give worth or worthship to Jesus Christ because of what he is and what he's done. We love him because he first loved us. And we give him what's due him if we are right with him and we have proper gratitude because he deserves it. He turns right, and we also have enough sense to realize that when a man works for us, we give him his proper pay. I said, well, it's sensible. Well, Christianity is a sensible thing. It's your reasonable service. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, like a man said, there's nothing to die for Christ. It's living for him that's the hard part. You spend 40 years in the ministry and give everything you've got. That shows you the heart of a man that wants to do what God wants him to do. What price do you put on a soul? Jesus Christ gave his life for souls. Luke chapter 19. Turn there a minute. I'm just laying a foundation here because I'm going to give you several points on why I believe in the bus ministry or what the worth of the bus ministry is. So I'll give you something to think about. I'm not going to yell at anybody. God knows. Look at half you stood up when you talked about being involved in the bus ministry. I don't think you need for me to get after you to get in the bus ministry. That's your pastor's business. That's what he needs to do if that's the case. I just want to give you several points about the bus ministry. Luke 19:10. It says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save and to save that which was lost. That was Jesus Christ's purpose on this earth. He came to seek and save the lost. The Bible also says that we are to do what he did in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. It's our job to seek and save the lost just like Jesus Christ did. See, Christianity is not a spectator religion. Truth is, not a religion at all. Religion is man reaching up to God to try to appease him. Christianity is God reaching down to man, lifting him up out of the pits of hell and giving him a purpose for which to live. Christianity is not something where you sit on the sidelines and say, go, preacher, go! It's where you get in there with the preacher and put on your game face and make things happen with him. Christianity is what we do for Jesus Christ because we owe it to him. It's not spectator. It's participation. And not everyone can participate like others participate. We all have different gifts and callings. And what God has done is he's given several people in the church certain gifts and callings. And it's your job to find out what God has given you a slant or what your, oh, there's a fancy word, your proclivity. That's a big word. I have a proclivity to music, so to speak, or I'm slanted or bent towards helping people or giving money or helping people or whatever your gift or slant that God made you to be. God gives people like that in the church, and everybody has a gift. Some are more talented and have more, but God requires more of those people. Not everybody's going to be a pastor, but let me remind you of this. Everybody's a full-time Christian. You don't have to get a check from the church to be considered a full-time Christian worker. What you need to realize is you're a full-time Christian 24/7. And you don't get a check from the church, but you can serve God just like that man there serves God. You don't need a check from the ministry to be called a full-time Christian worker. You just have to full-time be a Christian and go help people everywhere you go. For the Son of Man come to seek and save that which was lost. That's why Jesus came. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 8. I'm coming down to where I'm going to get into some points here, but I want you to bear with me. If you love the Bible, you don't mind going to these verses and looking things up. For by grace, very common verse, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Of course, you say that in soul winning. You're not saved by your works, you're saved by grace. Nobody ever got to heaven because of what he did. He gets to heaven because of what Jesus Christ did. And you don't come to God and clean up so you can be accepted by him. You come to him as you are, and he cleans you up after you get him. You know, I was witnessing to a lady. I went to fix her fireplace. One of the houses I work, I do a little bit, some side jobs, and I took my wife with me last Friday night, and we went to fix her fireplace. When I got there, I fixed the fireplace, and I started asking her a question about going to heaven, and she had known one of the students' wives from years ago. And I noticed she had some doctrine in her from a cult. She didn't believe in hell. She didn't believe Jesus was God, like you were saying this morning. I spent an hour and a half with her. My wife led her daughter to Christ. And I spent an hour and a half, I must have quoted 30 or 40 verses to her. And she got to the point where she realized, you know, there was a hell, and Jesus Christ is God and came to earth. And I remember I made a statement, you don't come to God, you don't clean up to come to God. You come to Him as you are and accept what He did for you. And the light went on, and she got saved. It was exciting. But, you know, we get saved by grace. Look at the next verse, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Good works aren't something you do before you get saved to get saved. Good works are something God ordains that you do after you get saved. And every person in this room has a purpose for your life. There are works that God has made for you that if you don't do them, they won't get done. And everybody here has a purpose and a plan and a place to be. And God has set it so that everyone has someone you can reach, or many someone. We are made to do the work of God. Look at one more group of verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is common also, verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. And hath given us, listen to this, has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is making right one person with another. It is Jesus Christ's job to come to earth to reconcile us to God. We were not right with God because we're sinners. And when Jesus Christ came, He died so that we could be right with God. That's why He came. In our job, God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And now our job, now that Jesus Christ is in heaven and He has sent His Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to live inside of us so that we can go and tell lost people how they can be reconciled to God. You see, you can get reconciled to God or made right with God because of the religion that you embrace. You're not made right with God because of the works you do. You're not made right with God because you're a nice poison. You're not get right with God because of any work at all. You get right with God simply because you realize that Jesus Christ is the only way to get saved. And He reconciles you to God so that you can now fulfill the purpose for which He made you. And I want you to notice here, everybody in this church, verse 18, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing or making or putting on the record their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. It's everybody's duty and responsibility and obligation in this church to make people right with God by getting them saved. It is our job to reconcile people. And because the worth of a soul meant the blood of Jesus Christ, if He puts that price or premium on a soul, we ought to also. Now let me give you some statements. A man by the name of General Chaffee in the Spanish-American War came upon a young man who was lying on the ground. They were making a charge up a hill. And he came upon a young man in battle. He was on the ground, and he noticed other soldiers were kicking him, berating him. As they ran by, they spit at him. And General Chaffee stopped and kneeled down to him and said, "Young man, what seems to be the problem?" This young man said, "I'm scared." And General Chaffee realized the situation and said, "Young man, get up and fight alongside of me. I'm larger than you are, and chances are they'll hit me before they hit you." And he said, "I see a young man buttoned up in that coat who's a real soldier. And I want to see that soldier come out and fight." And it was said that young man at the end of that war was still fighting. Because he gave him some courage, and he gave him a purpose. And he realized that though he was down and though he was scared, all he needed was someone to believe in him and say, "I can see a soldier in that coat, get up and fight." That's our job, to go out to these young people and knock on their door, say to families and teenagers and children, "I see a Christian button up in that coat. I want to see him come out and be a real Christian." You know, that man that came by my door 39 years ago did not know what would happen to that little 5-year-old bus kid. A young timid man named William, mid-1800s, was staying at the house of a ship captain. The wife took an interest in him. I guess he might have been his early 20s or late teens. She took an interest in him and said, "I see something in you, young man. And because of her interest and belief in him, he got faith in himself. Like a bus captain said years ago, you have to believe in these people because they don't have any dreams for themselves. If you don't have a dream for them, they won't have a dream for themselves. That young man became a great poet by the name of William Cullen Bryant. In later years, he said about this lady who took an interest in him, she condescended to smile upon my rustic simplicity. And he said, who knows what great men lie in silent graves for the lack of someone to believe in them. How many people in this area go to hell, live a life of worthlessness, all because there's someone who didn't have enough concern? Hey, we're heaven. We're giving a four-wheeler away next week. Say, should they come for the four-wheeler? Probably not, but carnal people do a lot of things for fleshly reasons. I came to church for a kite in 1978 when I was 15 years old. Wanted to help out my sister. And I don't know if you know my story a little bit. I was saved as a young boy, but I never got into a good church. Became an altar boy at my mother's request. I was a Lutheran. She invited me to get a kite to help her out, and I did. I tell you what, when I went to that Fundamental Baptist Church, I found out that the Holy Spirit that was living in me all along said, this is the place you ought to be. It's one good thing about the bus ministry. You get a little kid saved, he may not come to church. He may come for a little while, but the Holy Spirit's not going to leave him. Who knows what great men and women live in this area, couched in the frame of a little child, just waiting for someone to introduce them to the one who can give them purpose in life. All I needed. In June of 1967, a man drove 5 miles out on a country gravel road, knocked on the door. I don't remember seeing him. I never remember seeing the man. All I know is I got on the bus the next day, 5 years old. I don't know his name. I don't know what troubles he had in his life. For all I know, he had a fight with his wife that morning. I don't know. For all I know, his car payment was due and he couldn't pay it. I don't know. Did he get a notice in the mail that week that his power was going to get turned off? He didn't pay the bill? You never got one of those, did you? I know I have. Hasn't been turned off yet, but found the money. I don't know if he was going through that trouble. Was his car... We used to say in college that our car was held... The termites were holding hands, amen? And drive Chicago one day and the whole front seat just fell backwards. It just rusted out. Here I am looking at the ceiling. Put three bus workers in the back with their knees up against the seat so we could drive to Chicago. Taking baling twine, holding up muffler, and, well, that was a coat hanger. The baling twine held up the bumper. The coat hanger held up the muffler. Now I know what Paul means when he said he had manifold temptations. Amen? They went over like a lead balloon. Did he volunteer to work that vacation Bible school because his pastor begged him? I don't know. Did he get a notice saying that his car insurance was due that week and he couldn't pay? I don't know. Did he have a good marriage? I don't know. Did that man who came by my house, you know, was he a key member of the church? Was he the famous bus captain? I don't know. Did he have baggage from a past life of sin? I don't know. Was he a carpenter? I don't know. Plumber? I don't know. Did he feel worthy to serve God? I don't know. I do know this. I went and got saved. That's what I know. And whether or not that man that came to knock on my door was worthy to be there, whether he had troubles in his life, whether he was divorced or single or married for 25 years or a bus, I don't know. One thing that really matters to me is he brought me the gospel and I got saved. You know, young people in this area don't need for you to be perfect. They just need for you to be willing. You know, I can't give 10 hours a Saturday like I used to when I was single. Crying out loud, I got 6 kids, teenagers. They want your time. Well, they want to tell you how you don't have the time to have time for them. I don't know. I think a couple of them have stupid disease. I'm not going to tell you which two. If I give 2 or 3 hours on a Saturday, sometimes that's all I can do. But you know, your pastor might have a few cards saying, if you got an hour on a Saturday, go visit these people. You don't have to commit your whole life to the thing. Just give a few hours. Anybody can do that, really. Would you do that for Jesus Christ, who gave everything for you? You know, I'm sure that there's folks here that you give and give and give. The truth is there are some who could give but won't. And you don't have to be perfect and know everything and have all the time in the world. It takes what, 15 minutes to get to Himera from here? Is that how long it takes? 15 minutes to get over here to Linton? A few minutes to Colmont? A few minutes on some of the gravel roads where there's no town but just there's people? It doesn't take long to knock on a few doors. Boys and girls and hurting families don't need perfect people to reach them. They just need anyone to take them the gospel of Jesus Christ and acquaint them with what they can become. I'm going to skip things here. I'm going to give you several things. Why I got involved, why I get involved in the bus ministry. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 18, 17, a lot of points here. I got to hurry. The bus ministry is responsible for more people being in church than any other arm of the church. Over the course of the years, since the bus ministry started, it is the one ministry God has used to bring more people to church than any other ministry. Be a part of something that God has used for many, many years to reach people. There's nothing like reaching people in the bus ministry. Number two, the bus ministry predominantly reaches children who have their whole life to serve God. No baggage. No problems. All they have is a complete life to give to Jesus Christ. Before they get on drugs, before they get messed up with immorality, before they get messed up in the things of this world, you can reach them when their life is simple. D.L. Moody was out soul winning, came back. Someone said, how many souls did you get saved? He said, 2.5. 2.5. Yeah, 2 children and 1 adult. The children have their whole life to serve God, and the adult only has half his life left. Reach people when they got a whole life to serve God. I'm not saying you can't reach those that have half a life. Jesus Christ will take anybody. But hey, look at all the grief I've missed because I got saved young in life. Look at all the grief I've had. I've never been involved with drugs. I've never been involved with rock music. I've never been involved with alcoholism. I've never been involved with immorality. Didn't have to. I got saved when I was young. The best testimony, or you young people that grew up in this church, remember this, the best testimony of the world is not the guy that went out and sinned and came back. It's the person that never went. You know, the prodigal son came back. And he got the fatted calf and the ring and the robe and the shoes. But he worked for his brother the rest of his life. Don't forget that. Now, you'll get forgiven if you go out and do something stupid. Go ahead and sow your wild oats. God will forgive you, but you're going to come to the end of your rope every time. And you'll be back. You know what the great thing about it is? The church will be here when you come here. You may go out for 10 years, 15, 20 years, but brother, we'll be back here, and we'll take you back, and we'll help you, and we'll get you going. But that person that never left probably won't tell you what to do. Just saying it. The bus ministry gives life to a church because it births babies. The bus ministry brings new blood into a church and makes things exciting. You ever see a little kid, all the curiosity? Why are the stars like that? Like my son Stephen, God bless him. My brother, my preacher was preaching on the Beatles. You all know the Beatles, the rock music and all that nonsense. The 60s and the Beatles, they ruined our generation. And after the church service, Stephen said, what's wrong with bugs? The things children say out of the mouth of babes and sucklings as thou ordained strength. When you get young people in a church or young Christians in a church, it really gives a lot of life and excitement to that church. New blood keeps a church young and exciting and vibrant. When you don't have new blood, everybody gets old and gray, no young Christians, you get cynic. So the bus ministry will bring new blood. You know, who's going to take the place of the bus captains around here when they get too old to be a bus captain? I'll just jump in when something happens. Why don't you get on the bus now and learn from them? You know, Vince Lombardi was a great football coach. So many of you maybe watched him or heard of him. Someone said the most tragic thing about his death is that some football players will never get to know him. Some of the tragic things about young people is when the bus captains pass off the scene, you will never have spent time with them to learn all the things they know. It'd be tragic for you to say, I'll surrender when that bus captain leaves. Why don't you surrender now while he's still there? Who's going to take their place? Oh, I'm going to skip this. I was going to kind of go off on a tangent here, but I'm not going to. Oh, I got to. You know, whatever happened to respect and sobriety and responsibility in young people? What happened to the young boy, 15, 16, that says, you know, this is what I'm going to be when I grow up. This is what I'm going to do. You know, we have so many aimless people. Where am I going in life? Que sera, sera. You know, Doris Day and all her nonsense. Whatever will be, will be. You know what? Whatever will be, won't be. Whatever you make happen is what can happen. You get a purpose in life, and you go somewhere in life, and you do something with your life, and don't just play the Nintendo games and get Nintendo neck. That's true. People end up in the hospital with Nintendo neck. God help us. He's got ADD. My dad had a belt. There were no ADD when I was growing up. But if you didn't pay attention, you wish you'd never been born. We don't need drugs for ADD. We need belts for fathers. You know, wouldn't this be refreshing? Pastor, that friend of yours preached on the bus ministry. I know I'm only a teenager, but I could take 1 or 2 hours on Saturday and pass out flyers. Well, wouldn't that be refreshing? What about Pastor? I'm not very good at this, but if you'll give me some tips, I'll take an area and hit every door. You know, Pastor, I don't know about this, but, you know, hey, there's a lot of people on the gravel roads and nobody's out there because they're in the town. Why don't I just knock on all the doors on that road? What's wrong with that? Sure beats Xbox. You can kill all the villains on an Xbox game, but you let everybody else go to hell, too, while you're doing it. Why don't you do this? Give an hour or two on a Saturday and knock on doors and then go play the Xbox. Have a little diversion, but don't spend your life with it. Next, the bus ministry keeps older Christians on their toes and keeps them from being complacent. You know, if there's some young kids out there getting a lot of people in the church, getting them saved, us older codgers that kind of slow down a little bit and say, you know, maybe I ought to get busy. And that, you know, it's the pastor's job to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Well, I've been doing this for years. It's time to give it up. I understand that health hurts some people. And they just can't go like they used to. Well, you know that happens. That poor lady in the hospital today, at the brink of death, she was a shut-in, didn't get to church, probably wanted to. And if she had a young body like some of you, she'd have probably used it for God. But what's your excuse? You're not in a hospital bed. You're not at death's door. And I realize age and health and things like that knock people out of the busy, busy part of the ministry. But those kind of people get on the phone and call people and say, I'm so glad you came to our church this week. You don't have to get out and knock on doors for that. You can write letters. And there's always something to do. I've put in my time, Pastor. Show me a chapter and verse for that one. There's no chapter and verse for that one. There's always something to do. It gives you an excuse. Oh, here we go. It gives you an excuse to buy junk food and get fat without feeling too guilty. Amen. I like that point. Thank God for fritters and coffee. Amen. Donuts. Hey, you can win police to Christ at the donut shop. Hey, bus ministry will change your life. It'll help you increase your ministry. You don't have to feel too guilty about it. Me, so I'm big. The Bible says, let your soul delight itself in fatness. I'm scriptural. Number next, the bus ministry allows a person to prove his love and gratitude for the one who saved him. So I'm glad I'm a Christian. Prove it. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Serve God and prove you love him. See, love is a verb before it's a noun. In order for people to say you have love, you have to prove that you can love. The bus ministry will help you clip coupons later in life. Maria Vega, sang in pastor school. She was a little girl, a teenager in your bus route. Jody Quaid still comes up to me and kicks me in the shin every now and then. She got all her kids in City Baptist. Jesus Vasquez got one on the line. He's about to get married to that girl. He's about 35 now. One of my old bus kids. I got a young man that's going to be a pastor at a Spanish church in North Carolina. He was 2 years old when he first started riding my bus. Got a man who was 9 years old, met him on the street. He's at college now studying for the ministry. Yeah, I went to McDonald's every Sunday afternoon. I ate my food, but you'll have no one to say, I reached that person. Man, go to McDonald's after you drop your kids off. The Blanco family. I went by their house and invited them to church every week. Never wanted to come. Their cousin got killed in a gang drive-by shooting about 20 years ago. The lady had 10 children. All the whole family started coming to church. On the 1988 spring program, that family brought over 600 visitors to church. 600. They're still in church. Married, faithful members of the church. All because a bus captain just kept knocking their door every Saturday. See, you never know what's going to happen. You just got to go out and do it. It's God that brings the increase. See, what we want is glory. That's God's business. He gets the glory. It's all about Him. Truth is. Let me just work these real quickly here. The bus ministry brings God's blessing. I don't mean money. I don't mean things. I mean blessing. Peace in your soul knowing you did the right thing. You remember that wedding? People, they invited people and they didn't come. He said, okay, go out and get the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. Let them come. Because they don't have excuses. They're not too busy for God. They know they need God. So go get them. By the way, if you don't get them, they're going to get too old to think they need God, and then they're going to be too late to get them. The bus ministry will allow you to present to your Savior the only thing that really matters to Him, the souls of men. See, when you die, you're not taking anything with you but the souls you want. Man died and left in his will $30,000 for each of three friends. And he said, I want to prove that when I die, you can take it with you. So he gave each man $30,000 in his will. They were supposed to put the money in his casket. When it was all said and done, one man said, boy, he said, I had to keep $10,000 of it. I have to admit it. The other one said, I took $20,000. Boy. Third one said, you dummies, I put a check in for the whole amount. And I won't tell you what daughter said this, but she said, what if it bounces? God help us. No, folks, you cannot take it with you. But you can put a check in the whole amount. All right, let's go on here. The bus ministry moves you out of your comfort zone and forces you to grow. Let me tell you who the eeny-beeny little tiny Christians are in a church, the ones that are too busy to think about themselves and other people. Brother Ross was talking this morning about people who just sit soaking sour for 20 or 30 years and never do anything. They have to be babied and pacified. You know where trouble in a church is? People who aren't busy. The bus ministry keeps people so busy helping and loving others that they don't have time to hate each other. See, when you're on the same page with people, going for the same things, you haven't got time to fight each other. Brother Hiles went to a church one time. The deacons wanted to vote out the pastor. He said, let me help you. He said to the deacons, sir, did you win anybody this week? Anybody Christ this week? Well, I had a bad week. How about last week? That was a bad one, too. How about the week before that? Well, how about the month before that? How about the 6 months before that? He said, what's your problem is you're too busy stinking selfish. You don't win souls. You don't deserve to be a deacon. So let me tell you why I want to vote your pastor out, because you're so stinking lazy. You don't want his hard preaching because you're too busy being not right with God. So trouble usually comes. I don't know of any gossip problems or any conspiracy or disgruntled people or anything like that in the church, and it's not my business to deal with that. That's for your pastor. But I will, if I were a betting man, I'd say this, that if there were trouble, it would come from someone who's not busy helping others. So he's busy condemning others. Only by pride cometh contention. And when there's contention, there's pride. And pride usually comes when you get so busy thinking about yourself, you don't get time for other people. People who bear fruit get purged and humbled and don't usually create trouble. The bus ministry keeps good people so busy helping others that they haven't the time to hurt others. Keeps your church healthy and strong and on the same page. The bus ministry gives common, everyday good people a chance to do something truly great in this world. More than making a basket, more than putting a football through some plumbing at the end of the field, more than putting a golf ball in a hole or collecting flimsy toys of things in this world that you're going to lose anyway. The bus ministry gives you the ability to have something that really counts. It brings hope to people who have no hope. You know, that man who probably doesn't even know who I am, he happened to knock on my door one day. He doesn't know I brought 85,000 people to church so far. He doesn't know thousands of people have been saved. He doesn't know that I teach at what I believe is the greatest college in fundamentalism. He doesn't know I believe what I believe and where I stand and what I've done. He doesn't know that four of my children go teen soul winning every week and win people to Christ. That I've got a family and a wonderful wife. He doesn't know that, but he will. You never know what's going to happen to people. The bus ministry offers you a constant reminder that sin does not pay. Let me tell you this. When you go visiting on a bus route and you see what liquor and smoking and sin and living the wildlife does to people, it constantly reminds you, don't go there. Don't go there. You know, it's when you don't get involved and see what sin does to people, see the billboards and the television programs and all the advertisements glorify sin at its beginning, but they never show you what it does at the end. But the bus ministry will put you in a position where you always get reminded that's where sin will send you. When your children see that sin, when it finished, bringeth forth death, they may not want to go into it. Not everybody has a choice. And kids will do stupid things. But the truth is, if they do, the last chapter book still isn't written. But, you know, go where the sin has taken people as far as it'll take them, and it'll help you stay away from it. The bus ministry keeps your heart soft and sensitive to God. The bus ministry gives sinners hope that when they come to the end of their rope, there's a place where they can go to be accepted and loved. The bus ministry lets this community know how kind, practical, and appropriate Christians can be. See, if they're living in sin, they know they're miserable. They know they don't have any hope. And they'll know where to go when they have trouble. Let me say two things will be done. If the next D.L. Moody or Billy Sunday or great preacher lived in Linton or Hymera or Jasonville or in this area, could God count on you to knock on his door? Somebody's gonna. If you don't, no one will. If you were lost and live within 20 miles of this church, would you want a person, just any person, to knock on your door and invite you to church? Sure you would. You know, there are 5 routes in this church. There ought to be a young person who says, I'll start the 6th one. Who's going to start the 7th one? Well, we got 5. Good. Where's number 6? We're number 7. The key to financing your new building is to get God happy. He gets happy when people get saved. If you're not even a little bit involved in the bus ministry, give it some thought. It's a very rewarding thing.